just wanna flat line. Maybe this is all my fault, but I just wanna flat line. I just wanna flat line. Maybe we going too far. Welcome to the first installment of the Flatline Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Joel Cummins.
And Garrett Augsburger.
Oh my gosh, that was so hard. I'm going to have a hard time getting Garrett to talk with this because I feel like he's a little nervous for it.
No, I'm not nervous at all. I think it's just going to take some getting used to.
No, 100%. This is definitely going to be kind of like a trial run. This is new to us, so give us a break. Might get a little getting used to. Definitely the first podcast is going to be the roughest.
Oh, yeah. So if you just bear with us, we'll still have some great information.
All right, so we actually took a poll for what we wanted the first topic to be on the podcast, and it came out to post-workout nutrition. It was in comparison with macros, and I guess most people were just interested in post-workout nutrition.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of the one I wanted to talk about.
Today, I know
so
it
I'm
is.
Really glad so, that I mean, vote happened. I do love talking about post-workout nutrition recovery.
So right off the bat, what would you say are like some of the biggest myths as far as post-workout nutrition?
Where do you want to start? Good Wait, Lord.
I mean, there's a lot. There's
yeah.
a lot
we can talk about. Right off the bat, the one that irks us a ton is the chocolate milk.
The chocolate milk.
Yeah. Dude, like,
the chocolate milk thing is, I honestly don't know what the first thought was with the chocolate milk thing. I mean, maybe it was just because, I don't know, some scientist wanted chocolate milk as a good-tasting post-workout carb and protein. I mean, if I think of it as a whole, it's not entirely bad.
No, it's not. But it does have its issues.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it's often touted as being, like, the best post-workout recovery options you could have just because of its combination of complete proteins and carbohydrates as well. But
now if we were to like compare it to just something like a whey protein shake.
Right, yeah.
Like it's just completely invalid and not applicable
no,
in comparison.
No, it's not comparable at all.
If you think of, you know, the type of exercise matters.
It really does.
And maybe the chocolate milk can be better for maybe recovery in different athletes.
If you are a college basketball player and you just finished playing all four quarters of a game.
Got milk?
Go ahead. Yeah, sure. Chug a muscle milk. I don't care.
Muscle milk has more protein than chocolate milk.
You're right.
Just saying.
Yeah. Right. Chug a regular chocolate milk. Go ahead. Whatever. As long as it doesn't.
True milk.
As long as it doesn't.
Anabolic true
milk. Yeah, I don't think that's a thing.
No, I'm the same. That's like. Like if you think of dosage of protein post-workout, chocolate milk just doesn't have enough.
It really doesn't. I mean, it does have, it's a milk protein, so it's going to have your combination.
It's a good quality protein.
Yeah, it's going to have a combination of casein and whey because those are what make up milk protein. Yeah, you're right. It's the ratios we're looking at of what, Joel?
Yeah, so if you, like, look at the amino acid content of, you know, just regular milk protein, it's very good. However, 1 8-ounce glass of chocolate milk is going to have around 8 grams of protein, and you're not able going to be able to stimulate protein synthesis post-workout, which is what most athletes are looking for, especially in terms of recovery and building muscle tissue.
Right. It's all about the muscle protein synthesis.
It's all about the dosage. Like, if someone had, I don't know, 40 ounces of chocolate milk post-workout. I mean, sure, you're going to be hitting your protein, but then in a sense,
good luck keeping all that chocolate milk down.
Exactly. It's going to be really hard to digest. It's going to be a slow-digesting protein. And now you've got all this these carbs. And
right. Well, so why is milk going to be a slow-digesting protein?
Just because the mix of milk is 80% casein and 20% whey.
Yeah.
That casein is going to slow down digestion quite a bit, which in a sense, you know, if you go look at studies, even Jim Stepani alludes to a lot of studies that look at protein blends, which protein blends are very good post-workout. However, casein is a very slow digesting protein.
Yeah, it is. That's, I mean, that's why it's always recommended to take it at night.
Yeah,
when you're really fasting, you know.
I mean, honestly, that's probably another topic for discussion, just because
right.
is casein really something you need?
Right. We can talk about that for a long time as well.
So, I mean, milk in general, I mean, it's a good protein source, but if I'm thinking of optimal post-workout, there are a lot better options. Like, yes. just a basic whey protein shake is
right.
probably going
to
be better.
That comes down to, one, how quick it's going to digest, how
yeah.
quick you're going to be able to absorb that.
Is digestion rate important, do you think?
Oh yeah, yes. I 100% think it does. You know, it plays a huge part as far as rebuilding what you've torn down during a workout.
Yeah.
You know, they talking about the anabolic window.
Yeah.
I'm making air quotes right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, the anabolic window is true to a sense.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at recent studies, you know, past 2005 even, you can see that a protein synthetic response is available for 24 hours.
Right, yeah, you got to think of it as like you have like a 24-hour rolling clock, basically.
Yeah.
Now, is it increased a little bit, like, near to your workout? Yes. Is it required that you hit that 30 minute to an hour window? No.
It can be beneficial, especially, you know, post-workout nutrition, a lot of it is, it depends.
Yeah.
So let's just say we have an athlete that is, you know, he's in a big caloric surplus. He's in his bulking phase, whatever you want to call it. Is it more important or less important to have that post-workout shake? I would say less important. If you have someone who is dieting and, you know, he's really trying to maintain muscle tissue while trying to lose some body fat, then I think the post-workout window becomes a little bit more important. Do you kind of like feel a sense
yeah,
there?
Yeah, no, it definitely does come down to that. It depends on
it really does
on what you're doing and how you're doing it. Yeah, it is very variable.
And then there are like you can compare supplementation of BCAAs versus whey protein versus just regular food after a workout. And in a sense, the biggest variable is protein. You know, if you're having a meal with carbohydrates, you know, are carbohydrates necessary post-exercise?
I believe they have a role to play as far as, you know, muscle protein synthesis goes. I believe it can maybe able to assist in that a little bit, but I don't think they are required. I think if you're getting your protein in, that's what you need to focus on. If you're able to get a little bit of carb in as well, a quick absorbing carb, preferably.
Yeah. You don't want something like, I don't know, like a huge bowl of oatmeal possibly.
I'm talking about like a maltodextrin powder mixed in with your protein.
Then you sound like Jim Stefani.
That would great. That's praise right there.
I mean, I'm just saying he's a big fan of carbs post exercise.
Yeah, no. I'm not huge fan saying like it's required, you know, be sure you get it in, but I do think it has a role to play. But when it really comes down to it, be sure that you're focusing on a protein intake post-workout.
No, yeah. Obviously, protein is going to be number one post-workout, but, you know, things like carbs do play a role. When you're consuming carbs post-exercise, it's more important depending on the training. You know, say
right.
someone's doing like, I don't know, like a powerlifting session.
Yes.
You know, sets of 3 to 5 reps. They're not really depleting glycogen stores much. And, you know, you've got all these powerlifters that are like gummy bears post-exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you honestly didn't use your carb stores that much. If someone is, you know, quote-unquote doing bodybuilding training and rep range of 12 to 15, or someone's doing a lot of sprints where they're using more of the glycolytic
right.
pathways.
Yeah, and you're
then
really depleting the glycogen in your muscle tissues.
Exactly. So it depends on the training, on, you know, glycogen resynthesis post-exercise.
Right.
So carbs become more important.
Yeah, that is exactly where carbs become more important, is that glycogen resynthesis. If you are using the glycogen when you're training.
Exactly. It's like, if you're not using glycogen, like, you don't need to be doing it.
And this goes in another direction as well. If you're doing just some steady-state cardio, again,
Dude, not your glycogen's going way down on steady state.
Right, exactly. You're gonna need a different post-workout recovery option, you know, based on your training.
In that sense, I would just focus on protein. Say someone's doing just powerlifting or just basic cardio. Honestly, I probably wouldn't even worry about post-workout nutrition that much if I'm doing steady state. It's like, I know I'm going to be eating later with a protein-dense meal. So, I mean, in a sense, carbs do have benefit. But if you go look at studies, there's kind of some mixed data on whether
or not... There's a lot of mixed data out there.
There's a lot of mixed data. Yeah. I would say, for the most part, in controlled studies with trained and conditioned variables of the people actually active in the studies, that if someone is well-trained, the carbohydrate intake post-exercise doesn't have as much of an effect on protein synthesis.
Right.
But if someone is more new to training, then it becomes a little bit more of a different variation. And when we're talking more of a protein synthetic response that carbs have, it's like very minimal. It's an improvement, but it's still not like, oh my gosh, 50% more. It was like 3 to 5%.
Yeah, there was a study we looked at. They had 9 age matched males consuming 25 grams of whey post workout, and then the other set was consuming 25 grams of whey and 25 grams of maltodextrin. And their results basically said mixing the carbs and the protein did not stimulate muscle protein synthesis any more so than just taking your whey protein.
Yeah. And as far as, like, combination of carbs, there are a lot of different carb sources, as far as, like, you know, there's maltodextrin, there's dextrose. Waxy maize was huge for a long time. I don't, like, modified cornstarch. You know, you get the insulin response, and then it's steady. In a sense, just something that's relatively fast. You know, it doesn't have to be pure dextrose or maltodextrin. This is kind of where, like, someone like Lyle McDonald will just say, if it fits your macros, and if someone is following, like, a huge macros plan and say they don't want to afford the carbs post-exercise, have it on another time.
Yeah, like, no, that's exactly, you know, if it's not going to work with what you're doing, don't worry about it. Like you said, protein comes first. Get the carbs in when you need to, when you can, what works for you.
I agree. As far as, like, the dosage of protein, how much do you think is possibly optimal?
Now, that also comes out to, and it depends.
Man, I'm hearing a lot of...
That's what this is. It's all a bunch of it depends, because here's
it's hilarious when someone, like, brings up a topic and, like, asks me a question, and I'll be like, well, what happened?
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
What did you do? You know, what's your body weight? What are things like that?
And so that's where body weight does come into play when it comes to optimal protein intake post workout. Because a 225-pound bodybuilder with superior lean muscle mass is going to need a lot more post workout protein than 125-pound female post-workout.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I said, it depends. For your everyday average person, you know, I would say a scoop to 2 scoops post-workout.
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty much going to cover your needs, right?
That's a pretty general way to look at it, and I think that's exactly what you would say. Like, you know, McCaughton et al. In a 2016 study, they pretty much, like, looked at dosages of what was touted as enough. So, like, 20 to 25 used to be just, like, the basic.
Yeah, well, and that's most scoops you see are going to have anywhere from 19 to 25 grams of protein.
And that's exactly why. It's just, like, if you look at muscle cells, if you look at studies in the 90s and early 2000s, they looked at dosages post-exercise with 20 to 25 grams, and it was the same across the board, depending on who they were looking at, just because they were looking at the actual effect of muscle cells. And if you see 20 to 25 grams, I mean, yeah, muscle cells are getting the same amino acids, but in a sense, are they recovering as well? You can say that they were, but they're not looking at the actual protein synthetic response as like how high it is. The study that McCofton et al. In 2016, they looked at dosages of 40 to 45, and even in like little bitty females, they were able to see that the protein synthetic response was better. It was more appropriate in people that weighed more.
Right.
However,
had more muscle mass, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, even the fact that, you know, a female is 120 pounds or something, they could benefit more to probably going above the 20 to 25.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
But it does come to a sense that, like, you know, you don't need 60 grams post-exercise. Like, I remember there was one time I was watching, like a Kai Greene video, and he had four scoops post-exercise.
Now, yeah, that does...
Four scoops. Granted,
he does have an incredible amount of muscle mass. He's an absolute tank. He's a huge guy.
He's pretty tiny.
Yeah, sure. But there does come a point where your body's not going to be able to process that much protein at one time.
You can keep the amino acids in your blood, however,
Your body does have... It has a very limited protein and amino acid storage, but it is possible.
Yes. So it's like when people ask, like, you know, how much can you absorb in one meal?
Right.
I mean, you can absorb a lot.
Yeah, you really can.
Absorb, like, upwards of, you know, 80 to 100 grams and keep the amino acids in your system. Mm-hmm. However, you're probably only going to utilize at one time, you know, 40 grams.
Right.
You can keep the other amino acids in your blood as far as, like, for energy stores and, like gluconeogenesis for carbohydrate stores, but in a sense, it's like, you don't need that much.
No, it's definitely not necessary. I mean, if you want to take four scoops, I'm not going to tell you not to, but it's not necessary.
I mean, you'd be really full.
Yeah, sure. If you're trying to...
From a satiety aspect.
Exactly. I mean, if you're trying to feel full, go ahead. I mean, have fun.
That'd be... I can't even imagine, dude. Do you think fat is beneficial post-exercise?
No, that's really interesting.
I have my thoughts, but I kind of wanted to see where you stood with that. Just because fat isn't normally talked about
around
the workout?
It really isn't, because...
It comes to another, it depends.
It always comes to another, it depends. So... why is fat not talked about around the workouts? I don't know. Where did that start? Why do people not discuss that? There's not a lot of literature out there on it.
They've looked a little bit on as far as like MCTs.
Right.
But that's usually more around...
MCTs, he means medium chain triglycerides.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for elaborating.
You're welcome.
So like medium chain triglycerides post-exercise in people that are like trying to go keto.
Yeah.
But, you know, keto is a whole other different topic.
Yeah, we'll have a whole other
we'll
spiel on that later.
Spiel on keto.
Yeah, that'll be another podcast.
Keto's a magic worker, by the way, just saying.
Oh, yeah?
It is. But as far as, like, fat around exercise, it can be beneficial, say, if someone is very carb intolerant and they don't process carbs as well, you know. Maybe if they just delayed carbs a little bit post-exercise and their goal is just fat loss. Say someone is, you know, they don't process carbs as well. Their insulinogenic response isn't as optimal as, like, say, I don't know, like Terrell Owens, you know, a very conditioned football player, you know. They might benefit from something like protein and fat post-exercise just so that they're delaying a possible... poor insulin response.
Right.
Which it could be good for them, but in a sense, I'd say the general public is, you know, they're not going to have as much benefit as far as, like, maybe carbs. I mean, it depends on what exercise. If they're doing steady state, maybe.
It does depend. Now, do you think that fats might be shied away from post-workout or around workouts period because of their gastric emptying rate?
Man, that's a really good point. I haven't thought about it like that, but, I mean, it kind of does go down to digestion rate.
So fats are going to be much slower.
Really, really slow.
Yeah, much.
Unless it's MCTs.
Unless it isn't MCTs, right. But overall, fats are going to be much more slowly digested than the other macronutrients.
Yeah, like, say I have peanut butter post-exercise.
Yeah. It's going to take a long time for your body to process that. And that might have something to do as to why fats aren't really discussed as being optimal post, pre, around workouts, you know?
Yeah, like for me, if I have a client and they're trying to optimize their carbohydrate intake, mm-hmm. I know for a fact that, you know, I've done maybe a test with them, like a metabolic test, and I can see that they don't process carbs as well. I might just tell them, hey, if you're going to have carbs, only have it before and after, just because your body's going to utilize it better.
Right.
It, you know, the whole thing with fat is, you know, we need fat, but as far as like around exercise, I don't picture it as quite as beneficial.
I don't think it's necessary. I think if you're getting it in during the other times of day, you're going to be 100% fine. Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, yeah, be sure you're getting some sort of fat in and around a workout. Not what I would recommend, you know.
I saw a dude having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich intra-workout. I about wanted to go over there and just be like, hey, why are you eating that, man? Like,
I don't know if I would have been so nice, but...
No, I definitely would have. I just passed. I mean, he was just eating. He was having a great time. He had a PB&J.
Sure, yeah, if that worked for you, go ahead.
He definitely looked like a CrossFitter, so I was just like, hey, peanut butter is probably their favorite thing.
Could be, you never know.
I don't know. Actually, that's not even paleo. I'm sorry.
It's not.
No. Legumes. Throw out legumes.
None of those.
No legumes. So if I was to have BCAAs post-workout, which would you think would be more beneficial? A whey protein or BCAAs? I have my thought.
I really think when it comes down to it, I gotta go with protein.
I mean, I would say the same thing, you know, but this is another, it depends,
honestly. It really does. that whey protein, it's just gonna have so much more of what you need. It's gonna have amino acids already that are gonna be so crucial in that post-exercise recovery. That's not to say if you don't have protein, but you have aminos, that you shouldn't take the aminos.
Yeah.
No, definitely take aminos. That's going to be beneficial, as opposed to nothing.
There's branched chains in protein powders.
Right, exactly. There is. Yeah. It is important to have those BCAAs post-workout, but you're probably going to be getting them in with a scoop of protein anyways.
Now, if I go do something like cardio afterwards, sometimes I prefer BCAAs just so it's not something heavier.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. You know, sometimes after you finish your cardio, you're like, I'm not feeling a chugging a protein shake right now.
Exactly.
Let me sip on some BCAAs.
Especially if I'm dieting.
Yeah, let me sip on some BCAAs, and then once I cool off later in a little bit, I'll have my protein.
Yeah. If you look at some studies that Lane Norton has done himself, you can see that BCAAs actually spike blood plasma profiles of amino acids better than whey protein. However, if you look at the duration of the protein synthetic response, it's not quite as long as whey protein. So the initial little spurt area under the curve is a lot.
Right.
However, it just doesn't last as long, and that can be kind of detrimental. So, you know, when people say that BCAAs are good post-exercise, they are. So he actually follows a protocol sometimes where he'll have BCAAs in the dosage of about 10 grams. He's probably getting about 3 to 4 grams of leucine, which, as we know, is the most important
leucine
BCAA.
Leucine is touted as being the most important BCAA, yeah, for muscle recovery.
Wait, why is that, though?
Tell me.
Okay, so leucine... Or leucine is the most important amino acid just because of its interaction with the mTOR pathway, which actually stands for the mammalian target of rapamycin. And in a sense, it's pretty much our body signal. If we have a dosage of leucine, whether it be from a meal like chicken breast and brown rice, if we get 3 grams of leucine in a meal of chicken breast and brown rice, it's going to be the same thing as 3 grams from whey protein. However, digestion rate will vary on whatever we're eating. So leucine is, think of the trigger of leucine being enough. If we're saying 2-to-1-to-1 ratio of BCAAs,
right.
The 5 grams thing has been a huge thing as far as like dosage of BCAAs. But if you go look at that, that's usually more appropriate for someone like a 150-pound male, and that still only gives you about 2.5 grams of leucine. Kind of like what we discussed earlier, is that the 20 to 25 grams of whey versus the 40 to 45, and 40 to 45 being better, it has more leucine, like upwards of 4 grams of leucine in the more whey protein.
Right, and so what he's getting at here is...
Off on a tangent.
What he's getting at here is... There's something that Joel talks about a lot called the leucine threshold.
Yeah.
And it's basically the amount of leucine that you need to take, you need to intake post-workout for that leucine to be applied to...
A protein synthetic response.
Synthetic response as far as muscle recovery goes, because it is used all over your body for a lot of other...
It's not just skeletal muscle.
Yeah, no, any muscular tissue whatsoever is going to be using that leucine. And so you have to hit that threshold past that point where then it can be applied to your muscle recovery.
Yeah, which is hilarious because you get all these amino acid products and sometimes they don't even list dosages of leucine and it drives me insane. Yeah. Like, leucine's all I care about.
Yeah, no, you definitely need to be looking at the essentials and then especially leucine.
Yeah, and then tying that back into BCAAs versus whey protein. So back to the Lane Norton on what his protocol is sometimes is he'll have BCAAs and then just like a whole food meal 30 minutes later. So he gets the blood plasma spike of amino acids from BCAAs. But since it's so short, he'll have a meal pretty quick afterwards.
To sustain it. Right, yeah.
Which is a really good idea. It's just sometimes it's hard for me to do that.
It's not practical sometimes, yeah. But yeah, no, that's... It is really good. Yeah, exactly. That's why he's a genius at that.
I mean, Lane Norton's a boy.
Yeah.
And the reason why BCAAs don't have such a sustained response is just because they're only 3 amino acids. They can only do so much. Mm-hmm. So substration of things like a whole protein, your body's going to be processing those amino acids for a longer period of time. So if you have a more whole food, say a whey protein, mm-hmm. your body's going to process it longer. And since whey protein has such a high amount of leucine and BCAAs already, you can substrate through those amino acids a little bit longer. However, BCAAs, they do have a point. I mean, it was touted as an intra-workout miracle for a long time.
Yeah, it was. Which, sure, they're great. They're great intra-workout, but...
I think if you were to have BCAAs at a time, I would actually rather have before or after.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
What other myths? Any?
I'm trying to think.
Dude, we've been hitting a lot. I like this.
I know. Let's see.
What about things like other supplements post exercise? Like Jim Stipati likes carbs post exercise for the insulin response to like drive things like creatine, betaine, and beta alanine right. into muscle cells, mm-hmm. which I think has benefit, but creatine, I don't think is 100% needed post-exercise.
No, I definitely think...
By the way, all females, take your creatine.
Yeah, no, creatine's definitely something everybody needs to take. There's way too many studies stating all the great benefits for it.
And hopefully you're not paying $50 for a little tub of creatine.
No, creatine's it's very easily available and it's very cheap. There's no reason you shouldn't be taking.
It's ridiculous. Some formulations at GNC is like $60 for 30 days.
Don't waste your time on anything like that.
It's like a year's worth of...
Yeah, but as far as creatine goes, when you take it, listen to the recommendation on the bottle. They all are going to... On the container, they're all basically going to say 30 minutes prior to workout. And I genuinely agree with that. What do you think?
I mean, some labels will kind of indicate... It needs a loading phase.
Right.
Which, I mean, you can do a loading
phase.
However, it's like there's nothing wrong with, doing it for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. If you do just dosages of 5 grams a day for 2 weeks, you're going to get there. However, the loading phase is trying to get you there in like 4 to 5 days kind of thing.
So kind of explain what you mean by a loading phase.
So loading phase as in like normal dosage is 5 grams. A loading phase to saturate your muscle cells with creatine levels, 20 to 25 grams usually per day to saturate your muscle cells quicker. with things like fluid and just ATP levels from phosphate from creatine.
Right.
But if I think of just long-term, I've never done a loading phase.
No, neither have I. I've just kind of continuously taken it.
Yeah, I never forget my creatine.
No, it's every workout. Yeah, every day.
Do you take it post-workout?
I do not take it post-workout. Mm-hmm. I just do it.
Jim Stepani would be mad at you.
He might, you know, but I don't think it's necessary post-workout. It might be beneficial, but not, again, necessary.
No, I agree. As far as, like, other studies that pertain to this topic, we are going to have just links on our social media to some of these studies if you want to look at them yourselves. Also, if you have any further questions, just let us know. Post-workout nutrition is kind of, you know, it's more basic than people think.
Yeah, no, a lot of people try to extrapolate upon it and make it pretty complicated, but it's very straightforward.
It's very straightforward. You know, at the end of the day, what's the one thing that we need post-exercise?
Protein.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not getting protein post-exercise, you're definitely missing out on things like recovery and gains.
Yeah, no, it is extremely crucial because you need to rebuild what you just tore down.
Exactly.
It's as easy as that.
And during exercise, people, you know, they don't have this mindset of, I just broke down protein in my muscle tissue.
Right, and that's what your muscle tissue is.
Absolutely. So, like, why would you not try and initiate, you know, repairing your muscle tissue as quick as possible? I mean, that's probably all that I got for them. I mean, if you have anything else, you know, I'm always open to talking about something else. I don't have anything else on my mind, personally.
No, I mean, we did basically covered all the macronutrients as far in some other supplementation, along with that as far as post-workout goes. If you guys have any questions, yeah, hit us up on our social media. We will respond fairly quickly.
Chocolate milk, though.
Yeah, no. let's not go there.
Tastes great, though.
It does taste great. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you not to drink chocolate milk. It's not Satan. Like,
carbs are not the devil.
No, they're not. They're not.
that's not everything. Oh, my gosh. All right. I think this concludes the first installment of the Flatline Fitness Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Again, this is your host, Joel Cummins.
And Garrett Augsburger. Please shoot us recommendations, comments, concerns.
I know. Any topics that you want covered.
Yes, yeah. We will research them, and then we will...
We're still really new to this. Yeah. Trying to, obviously the flow of this first podcast isn't as smooth, but, you know, I mean, hopefully we gave him something to learn about.
Hey, I think we did. I know I always learn every time we do one of these, you know, I'm going to be learning something myself. Uh-huh. So, I enjoy it.
Plus, I'm smarter than you, so.
He thinks that, so.
Okay.
We appreciate you guys listening. Give us a shout. Give us some likes on social media. Go follow us on Flatline Fitness Official on Instagram, and then go like our Facebook page. Anything else?
That's all I got. All
right.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thank you, guys. I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe this is all my fault. But I just want a flat line. I just want a flat line. Maybe.